You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News from Monday, October 29th, 2018.
We don't want to be a walled-off community. Yeah. And we really wanted to be a demonstration for how we think development should be done.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Marion Sinclair. Sinclair is a co-founder of the Bloomington Co-Housing Project. The intentional housing community will soon be under construction on Bloomington's south side. That's coming up on Big Talk Extra with Michael Glab later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, gerrymandering, what you need to know about how political districts are drawn and how to change them. That's coming up on A Minute of Civics, a weekly segment produced in partnership with the League of Women Voters in Bloomington, Monroe County. But first, your daily headlines.
President Donald Trump was in Indianapolis over the weekend. Trump was speaking to the annual Future Farmers of America convention. The nonpartisan organization provides technical and agricultural training for an estimated 600,000 members across the country. The president used the opportunity to condemn a gunman's attack on a Pittsburgh synagogue earlier on Saturday, which killed 11 people.
This wicked act of mass murder is pure evil, hard to believe, and frankly, something that is unimaginable. Our nation and the world are shocked and stunned by the grief. This was an anti-Semitic act. You wouldn't think this would be possible in this day and age, but we just don't seem to learn from the past. Our minds cannot comprehend the cruel hate and the twisted malice that could cause a person to unleash such terrible violence during a baby naming ceremony. This was a baby naming ceremony at a sacred house of worship on the holy day of Sabbath.
Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb directed flags across the state to be flown at half staff to honor the victims of the tragedy at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Flags should be flown at half staff until sunset on Wednesday, October 31st. The Future Farmers of America convention in Indianapolis began with a blessing and prayer from an area pastor and a rabbi. In his address, President Trump criticized countries receiving U.S. aid and support, remarking on his directives to Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue.
We're standing in line. There must have been 40 farmers, all of them really badly hurt, some devastated, some wiped out. And he said, sir, I've been doing and growing cotton for 25 years. And he was crying. He said, this was the best crop I've ever grown. This was the finest. He was explaining to me about cotton. I don't know too much about cotton other than I want to grow a lot of it in this country. But he was explaining how, sir, this was the best. And he's going like this. I mean, he said it's the best crop he ever had. And then in 5 hours, sir, I had nothing. I was wiped out. And I said to our man, Sonny Perdue, Sonny, we help so many people, but we don't help our people. We don't help them like we should. We got to help these people. He was wiped out. He wasn't asking for anything. He wasn't even thinking about it. And he got wiped out. And they had a rough season, as you know, last year, with a much smaller level of storm, but still a rough season. And I said, Sonny, we got to help these people out. And that's what we're going to be doing. Because we help people out, and we help countries out, that don't even appreciate it. We get billions and billions of dollars all over the world. We protect countries with our military. They don't pay us. We do so much for so many. And here we have a cotton farmer who works his ass off his whole life. And I send checks for billions of dollars. Don't worry, a lot of it's going to be is being cut back. You'll hear about it when you see all these protests from people. And we give billions of dollars to places, and they don't even vote for us at the United Nations. It's unbelievable. They vote against us on things that are very popular. They vote against us. It's called no respect. But they do vote now that I'm president. They have been voting very nicely. Thank you.
President Trump used the opportunity to tell the crowd of thousands of blue corduroy-clad young farmers that his policies are aimed at stabilizing U.S. agricultural trade with other countries around the world. President Trump's trade policies have repeatedly led to retaliatory tariffs from China, particularly on soy and corn.
I went to President Xi and he agreed to do it, and it was great. And it'll all work out between China and the United States. It's, you know, they've been doing very well against us for 25, 30 years. They've been doing beyond well, taking out $500 billion a year out of the United States. Would you say that's a lot? That's a lot of corn. That's a lot of wheat. That's a lot of soybeans. Can't do that. I said, you can't do that. So we're in a trade dispute. I want to use that word because it's a nice, soft word. But we're going to win. You know why? Because we always win.
Incumbent Republican Congressman Trey Hollingsworth from Indiana's 9th District, which includes Brown, Monroe, and Lawrence counties, also spoke alongside the president on Saturday.
I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited to work alongside the administration every single day to build a brighter, stronger, better future for America. And that is what this president has been about from day one all the way through to today. I know that there were some dark times that we felt like America had once lost its way, but today we can reassuredly tell the American people that the future will be brighter, and this century will be another American century for American producers, American manufacturers, and most importantly, American farmers.
Please get out and vote for them.
Hollingsworth is in a close race with Democratic challenger Liz Watson. The probability website 538 estimates Hollingsworth maintaining a narrow lead over Watson. 538 puts Hollingsworth at 52% of the vote in the heavily purple district, with Watson sitting around 47%. Indiana's 9th congressional district is often referred to as the Bloody Ninth, because it's a toss-up each time. Midterm elections take place on November 6th, 8 days from now.
The Indiana Democratic Party is attempting to split the Republican Senate vote at midterms next week. The Indianapolis Star reports the Indiana Democratic Party sent out mailing flyers for Libertarian Senate candidate Lucy Brenton last week. Incumbent Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly is narrowly leading in the polls against Republican candidate Mike Braun. Brenton is polling at around 3% of the vote. According to the Indy Star, state Democrats may be taking advantage of Brenton's candidacy by attempting to shift voters away from Braun. Libertarians align closer to the Republican side of the political spectrum than Democrats. The flyer, which was mailed out last week, plays toward the political sentiments of fiscally conservative voters, calling Brenton the anti-tax candidate. The Brenton campaign has reportedly thanked the Indiana Democratic Party for the, quote, free publicity, unquote, and called the mailing an accurate representation of the Libertarian platform. Incumbent Democrat Senator Joe Donnelly holds a narrow lead over Mike Braun, according to 538.
One woman in Brazil, Indiana, is fed up with the negative attack ads between incumbent Democratic Senator Joe Donnelly and his Republican challenger, Mike Braun. Brazil resident Linda Mesmer bought airtime on WAMB outside of Terre Haute. Mesmer ran an ad encouraging both candidates to stop running political attacks against each other.
I'm Linda Mesmer. I'm not a politician. I'm not running for any office. I'm a proud American citizen, and I voted in every election since I've been old enough to vote. I try to be an informed voter by reading about and listening to the candidates. I am sick and tired of being bombarded with all the negative, hateful, mean-spirited ads. To all the candidates who are running these kinds of ads, I say, stop it. I'm Linda Mesmer, and I approve this message.
Millions of dollars from national groups, including the AFL-CIO and the RNC, have purchased attack ads across the state. Pro-Braun advertisements have been referring to Donnelly as Mexico Joe due to his family ties to a factory in Mexico.
Senators get paid almost three times more than a typical Hoosier family. But that wasn't enough for Joe Donnelly. Donnelly took more. His family got caught outsourcing jobs to Mexico, and Mexico Joe profited up to $80,000. And a past safety inspection of his family's business found serious violations. Outsourcing jobs to Mexico, American jobs at risk. Joe Donnelly profits. Senate Leadership Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Donnelly's campaign have responded with their own accusations of outsourced labor by Republican challenger Mike Braun.
I'm Joe Donnelly, and I approve this message.
The attacks on Joe Donnelly are lies. Joe hasn't worked at the Indiana Printing Company for 20 years, and he's voted against every bad trade deal. Mike Braun, a CEO paying himself millions by importing cheap foreign auto parts from countries like Mexico and China. Every day, even now, Braun is getting richer, selling parts made in China and Mexico. His companies even brag about it, all while Hoosier jobs disappear. Millionaire Mike Braun, selling Indiana out.
Fortunately for Brazil resident Linda Mesmer, midterm elections are only 8 days away.
A fight at a Halloween party over the weekend left one dead and one seriously injured in Bloomington. According to the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, three people were shot at a party at Eagle Point Golf Resort on Lake Monroe, one of them fatally. In a statement over Facebook, the Monroe County Sheriff's Department wrote, quote, "The case has become increasingly difficult as very few of the witnesses stayed to give statements, and those that did could not provide many details. We do believe that the shooter came to Monroe County to attend the party and is not a local resident," unquote. The deceased man was a 21-year-old from Indianapolis. The sheriff's department stated the second victim is in massively critical condition, and a third victim has since been released from the hospital. Monroe County Sheriff's Department states that no one at Eagle Point could feel in any additional danger. The perpetrator has not been identified. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington.
Years ago, Marion Sinclair helped found the Bloomington Co-Housing Project, the first of its kind in Indiana. The co-housing concept originally developed in Scandinavia and features small homes built around a car-free green space tended cooperatively by the residents. After several fits and starts, the co-housing community Sinclair and others dreamed of is becoming a reality as developer Lauren Wood will begin construction on South Maxwell Street. Sinclair speaks about co-housing with host Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra.
How soon do you expect this thing to come about?
I was told about permits coming in this week, and that then grading will be starting and infrastructure will be going in fairly soon. And so building would happen after that, and hopefully we'd have houses being built in the springtime.
If I want to go for a walk, can I walk through your common area?
You mean if you were an outside neighbor?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people would probably mind if you walked into the community, though, because people in co-housing communities tend to know each other pretty well. They might say something like, "Hello, can I help you find somebody here?" They would know that maybe you don't live there, and they might say hi and are you walking through, or are you looking for somebody, or whatever.
Well, there's not a fence.
There was a partial fence that probably will be taken down.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the idea of a fenced or gated community, this isn't that.
No.
Do you want that?
No, we really, the group that we had to start with really wanted to be a presence in the outside community, to be a valuable part of the community. And people in co-housing are generally interested in their communities. They're generally politically active. So, no, we don't want to be a walled-off community.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to be a demonstration for how we think development should be done. And as with most co-housing communities, the people have tours through their communities, and some people welcome people to come through and look at their houses and how they're situated.
Is co-housing for the wealthy?
Well, co-housing generally costs about the same as a market rate price would be if for the comparable construction.
Yeah.
It's not cheaper, although the houses are somewhat smaller. You're getting a lot of extras within the common house. You'll have things that you probably couldn't afford to put in your own home, like a library, you know, children's playrooms, an exercise room or whatnot.
That would be in the common.
In the common house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you are getting some amenities that you wouldn't get otherwise, and you're also getting a community of like-minded people. You're getting kind of the best of everything, I think, with that price.
Now, for those who are interested in general information on co-housing, there's a general website for this kind of thing, cohousing.org, and you'll get exact definitions and what all the amenities are and the different ways that people do things. Some of the Scandinavian countries started this trend, and then it came over to the United States. Did it change when it came to the United States?
I know that co-housing has changed some. I don't know if it was just Americanized that much, but I know the trend was toward having more common space and having... I think when it came to America, people built bigger individual spaces.
I see.
And when they...
Because we're Americans.
That's right. And when it was studied more after the co-housing had been going for a while, they found that people said they wish they had put more... money or made more spaces that were the common spaces and less into their own individual homes.
Huh. Now that sort of surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of un-American. Why do you think Bloomington is good for this?
I think people in Bloomington are forward thinking.
Yeah.
They're active in their community. They're the sorts of people that tend to be interested in co-housing in general.
One of the quotes I've seen in my research on this stuff, someone once wrote that living in a co-housing community is like having 100 parents.
Well, it works that way for the kids.
Yeah.
There's a lot of adults, a lot of babysitters around.
Uh-huh. So you all trust each other then?
Yes, it works out to be that way.
Yeah.
And it's a great place for elders who sometimes are isolated. It's a great place for families. There's a lot of support common dinners. If you have several common dinners a week, then that takes the burden off families always having to cook each dinner every night. So in certain ways, it takes burdens off that. And the elders are great mentors for the children, and the children are great companions for the elders. And
there's kids running around that they can be friends with, just like in the old days.
They talk about co-housing as being like the new old-fashioned neighborhood.
You're looking forward to it.
I am. I'm looking very forward to it, and I think it's just going to be a joyful, fun place to live.
The home you own now is yours. That's that.
Yes.
You don't have, nobody calls on you to say come to dinner, and nobody says you have to do this or have to do that. It's going to be a little change. Do you envision a transition phase?
Probably there will be, although some of those things I would welcome a lot. I like to garden, but it's a lot of work for one person. So I'm really going to enjoy having a bunch of neighbors to do the gardening with.
As I understand it, in a co-housing setup, the group owns the rakes and the hose, and maybe the lawnmower, too.
Yes, generally that's true. You could go buy your own rake if you want to.
When the time comes, when the houses are built, they're going to have to be sold. Are you going to be like an evangelist for this?
Well, I've been an evangelist for this for a long time, so I'll probably keep right on going.
Do you think that the time will come that you'll say to someone who's saying, geez, I wonder if I should put some money down, that you might visit a person and say, come on aboard?
Oh, yeah, or invite them to my home to see for themselves.
That was Marion Sinclair speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab about the Bloomington Co-Housing Project. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for a Minute of Civics, produced in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Bloomington, Monroe County.
A Minute of Civics is produced by WFHB in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Bloomington, Monroe County.
Hello, this is Betty Greenwell with the League of Women Voters of Bloomington, Monroe County, and I'm here today with Jim Allison, who is also with the League. Jim, I just heard that when congressional districts are gerrymandered, this results in legislators choosing their voters rather than voters choosing their legislators. How can that be?
Well, this does happen in Indiana, and right now there aren't many rules to keep this from happening. Technically, laws require districts to have about the same number of people without discriminating against racial, ethnic, or language minorities. And districts are to be adjacent, which means just next to each other.
So how are legislators getting around this?
Well, the laws don't provide much guidance. There are no requirements to create compact or competitive districts. Establishing a bipartisan balance is not encouraged, and political boundaries are generally not recognized. Rather than use a city or county boundary, these district lines cut through these boundaries haphazardly. If the Monroe County boundary were honored, then the county's population would warrant representation by one state senator and two state representatives. In reality, it's been carved into five representative districts and two Senate districts, with one of these overlapping into several nearby counties.
Please tell me we're not stuck with this setup.
No, we're not stuck with this setup. The districts can be changed after the 2020 census, when Indiana, along with all the other states, will have a chance to redraw their district lines to account for population shifts. And this is known as redistricting.
Okay, but what's to prevent Indiana's lawmakers from drawing new district lines that are just as imbalanced as the current ones?
Well, in a legislative nutshell, citizen action, pushing new legislation. Citizens can get involved. They can demand that their representatives adopt new laws that would establish an independent, nonpartisan commission to redraw and balance district lines.
I like that idea, Jim. So how do we make it happen?
Citizens can educate themselves on this issue, and they can learn where their representatives stand on this issue. Several nonpartisan organizations cover gerrymandering and redistricting very thoroughly. For example, the League of Women Voters of Bloomington Monroe County, Common Cause, and All In for Democracy.
And anyone can call, email, or write our Indiana lawmakers, asking them to stop gerrymandering now and to adopt laws to make redistricting more fair and balanced.
That's right. And when the Indiana State Legislature is in session, citizens can show up and listen to the legislative hearings for redistricting proposals.
So then what is our ultimate goal?
The goal of every democracy, representative government.
And how will we know when we're there?
When a party that wins one-third of the popular vote also wins one-third of the seats in the state legislature or the U.S. House of Representatives, we'll know we're close to representative government.
Well, it sounds like we have a plan then. Let's do this. Get out and vote.
Yeah, let's get out and vote.
A Minute of Civics is produced by WFHB in partnership with the League of Women Voters of Bloomington Monroe County.
Been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
A Minute of Physics is produced by WFHB in support of the League of Women Voters of Bloomington Monroe County, a nonpartisan organization. A Minute of Civics is produced by Susan Gloaz and Elaine Gall with help from WFHB News Director Wes Martin and members of the League of Women Voters of Bloomington Monroe County. Our engineer and executive producer is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumstein, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wager-Miller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next, right here on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.